Yes, you are listening to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO on this Open Mic Friday, August the 18th, in the year of our Lord, 2017. What does this mean? It means that you can call me, Pastor Tom Baker, on any theological question you might have on your mind, and I will attempt to answer it. If there is an answer in the Bible, I hope I'll be able to give it. And if I don't know where it's at or not sure of it, you'll hear it on Monday. Right now, the numbers are, if you're in the St. Louis area, 821-0850. Then, anywhere in North America, 1-800-730-2727. So you can even call out in St. Louis, 1-800-730-2727. Yes, I've been getting some questions because you've been hearing me talk about Trinity Lutheran Orchard Farm, and I'm now open to preaching elsewhere because Trinity Lutheran has called a pastor, and I have been released from working there. So, if you're at all interested in having me preach at your congregation, I also do adult instruction classes, really enjoy doing that, youth confirmation, seeing shut-ins, hospital calls. So, particularly if you're a congregation where you need that kind of help, don't hesitate to let me know. You can email me at lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. So, any questions at all, don't hesitate to give me a ring. And as you know, between calls, I already always have something kind of prepared. Yesterday with Wes Reimnitz, we were talking about the place of Israel for many evangelicals. They believe that Jesus will not be returning until Israel takes over the Dome of the Rock. He just won't return. So the problem I have with that is, well, guess what? That means he couldn't return today because that hasn't yet happened. So you can talk about that. We talked about other items during the week. Or anything else on your mind, don't hesitate to call. And so we're going to start off with our good friend. How you doing, Mike?
Hey, how you doing?
Well, how are you doing?
Good, good. What about yourself?
Good, good.
That's even better. Okay. No, I was thinking, these evangelicals, they have the right idea about Israel, but they just have the wrong theory behind it, you know?
Explain that.
Let me see. I got it right here in my... I marked it in my Bible. Let me throw my glasses on. Here it is right here. Just one verse. Children, it is the last...
No. What Bible verse?
Oh, I'm sorry. 1 John's Epistle, chapter 2, verse 18.
Excellent.
Okay, here it is. Children, it is the last hour, and just as you heard that the Antichrist, that's singular, was coming, so now many Antichrists, which was plural, have appeared. Thus we know that this is the last hour. Well, you know, I think a lot of people are deceived on what really is the Antichrist because, you know, in Judaism, when they celebrate Hanukkah, they have some little prayer that they say, and one of the words of it is that they're hoping for the messianic age. They're not looking for an individual or a person, but they're hoping that the messianic age will be ushered in. Some little prayer, but anyway, I think that the Antichrist is not a person, but it's actually Israel, the nation of Israel, and I think it's a good benchmark that we probably really are close to Christ's second coming.
You would consider Israel to be the Antichrist when in Romans 9-11, Israel is the holy Christian church.
I'm talking about the literal nation of Israel because, for one thing, they're really into moral inversion in that country. You know, like they celebrate the Passover on the 13th of Nisan. They, you know, to be determined of a Jew, they go by your the heritage of your mother, not your father. And even though they tolerate ultra-Orthodox Jews in their country, which is a small percentage, they don't like them. And they're really for gay rights and things like that, you know.
Well, I know a lot of Jewish people who are not for gay rights, who are not for abortion, who are very strong in regard to believing the Bible and the Old Testament, what it has to say. And you'd have to therefore put all the disciples in that category, Mike, because they were all Jewish.
Yeah, but I'm talking about modern Judaism. You know, like you say, for example, before they made same-sex marriage legal in every state, you could have probably gone to any synagogue. If they had the word temple written in the name of their synagogue, they would have gave you a civil ceremony if you wanted to marry somebody of the same sex, you know?
Well, we had actually a synagogue near the congregation I had in University City, and they would not do that. They were very Orthodox. And so I wouldn't want to say we even have a Jewish Lutheran church in Clayton, on Clayton Road here in St. Louis,
you mean,
Mike.
The bad part of Clayton Road.
The bad part?
Yeah, I think it's in Dogtown, isn't it?
Well, I don't think Dogtown's a bad. I got a lot of friends in Dogtown.
I don't know. I heard that people are, I know there's all kinds of for sale signs around there. People are trying to get out, but.
Well, there's a lot of for sale signs all over the place because people can't afford their houses.
No, but I think this is a little different situation. But
yeah, okay.
The crime problem, but.
Well, I appreciate your call, Mike, and I'll respond to it a little bit here. I just don't think it's appropriate to categorize a whole group of people as the way you did, Mike, simply because we all know not only fellow Jews who have become Christian, so you can't put that in that category, but many Jews do lead a life. They don't do crime. They are very careful in taking care of their family. And so I just don't kind of agree with you at all that the Antichrist is the Jewish nation. And that verse there, as you were talking about, children, it is the last hour. This is really the time prior to Christ's second coming. It's even mentioned in Acts 2, verse 17. And what John is saying is that it's going to be filled with the appearance of many false teachers who speak their falsehoods by the spirit of the Antichrist. And John himself says that in a couple of chapters later. 1 John chapter 4, verse 3. Let me read that. 1 John 4, 3. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. So this is not just talking about Israel, but every spirit that does not confess Jesus is God, from Jehovah's Witnesses to Mormons to Islam, way beyond just Jewish people. And so I would think it is a mistake to categorize anybody who is of Israel as not being the possibility of being a Christian and somebody who therefore is part of the Antichrist. The Antichrist is that which teaches certain false teachings, and people who follow that Antichrist are considered as false teachers. So when John says it's the last hour, therefore we know it is the last hour. He says in verse 18, he says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. And when you take a look at 1 John, you begin to understand that he's writing not just to Israel, he's writing to Christians. So, if anybody else has any comments either on that or something else you want to talk about, the numbers in St. Louis, 314-821-0850, toll-free 1-800-730-2727. And we're going to go back to the phone lines and talk with Tim. Hi, Tim. You're on the air.
Oh, hi, Pastor. This is Jim rather than Tim.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misread it. She had it correct.
That's okay. I am actually reading this morning in 1 Peter, and I am in chapter 4, and I am looking at verses 12 through 19.
Okay.
What we're doing there is Peter is talking about the suffering for being a Christian. And I was wondering if we could in some way relate that to what's called the unforgivable sin. In other words, what they're doing, what people are doing by causing suffering for Christians is that they are actually blaspheming the work of the Holy Spirit within you, who gave you your faith and proceeds to increase that faith. And I was just wondering what your comment might be on that. Am I on the right track there in equating that with the unforgivable sin and blasphemy of the Holy Spirit?
I would make a distinction between someone who commits the unforgivable sin and somebody who persecutes Christians for reasons that are contrary to the Bible. I'm not necessarily going to say, for example, we Lutherans are challenged by a number of the Reformed that when we do the Lord's Supper, that is not receiving the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Now, we disagree with those Reformed who say that, but I would not want to say that they're therefore doing the sin against the Holy Spirit. But if somebody like a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness attacks us and say, you are ridiculous to think that Jesus is God or that he is our Savior, then that would be a sin against the Holy Spirit, much like the Pharisees had against Jesus when they said, you know, how can this carpenter from Nazareth be the Son of God? So I don't have the ability to read hearts. God does. And whether a sin is the sin against the Holy Spirit, I'll give you two examples. Peter denied Jesus three times. Judas betrayed him. Judas committed suicide. Jesus said it would have been better he had never been born. He would have done, in my opinion, therefore the unforgivable sin. Whereas Peter was forgiven by Jesus, even though he denied him three times. So I'd be just a bit careful when we're being persecuted or people are speaking against us to jump to the conclusion they're doing the sin against the Holy Spirit. They're definitely against the work of the Holy Spirit in us, but to jump to the conclusion that they're going to be damned for that false teaching, I'd be a little hesitant to go in that direction.
Okay, sounds good. Sometimes I read a little bit too much into the verses that I'm taking a look at. I think I go maybe just a little bit overboard and a little bit too deep into something like that.
Well, sometimes we don't read enough.
Yeah.
That's the problem I find more than not. I've got a really good one this coming Monday. You know, a lot of churches put signs on their front doors, John 3:16 or something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know of any church that puts Matthew 16, verse 20, which says, Jesus strictly charged his disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. Now, you definitely got to read between the lines on that one, and that's what we're going to be doing Monday to help explain what appears to be a strong contradiction against the Christian faith.
Sounds good. I'll be listening.
Thank you, Pastor. So very much. God bless. Anybody else can call here? Numbers are, as I said, St. Louis, 821-0850. Toll-free, 1-800-730-2727. One of the items I wanted to bring up is when we're taking a look at a lot of the readings, and Jim makes this point that sometimes we put too much into them, it's because we're using our reason rather than Scripture in order to make clear interpretations. this actually is spoken against using reason in the Book of Concord. It's in Article 5, and it reads this. Now, they're talking about that people believe that justification comes about because people merit grace by good works. And the confession says, this way is a doctrine of reason. For reason, not seeing the uncleanness of the heart, thinks that it pleases God if it performs good works. Therefore, other works and other acts of worship are constantly invented by people in great peril to defend against the terrors of the conscience. Now, a good example of that, in Luther's day, many people went into monasteries or nunneries in order to get away from the world, and therefore, boy, God is really going to be pleased with me because I'm spending all my time in religious work. But the confessions point out that when you start using reason, the pagans and the Israelites slew human victims and undertook many other most painful works in order, now here it comes, to appease God's anger. If you think that the goal of religion is to appease God's anger, it's because you haven't understood the Bible, because God's anger is already appeased in Christ Jesus. 821-0850 in St. Louis, 1-800-730-2727, anywhere in North America. Let's go talk to James. Hi, James. You're on the air.
Hello, Pastor. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing well.
We sound like Mike.
Well, I want to ask you, from the perspective of a Christian in culture, I want you to help me understand 1 John chapter 5, verses 16 and 17.
All right.
The reason why I ask that, I want to know, is it cheap grace that in the practice of soul winning, that when you do not confront or condone bigotry and hate as a sin, as a Christian in culture, should you, in the practice of soul winning, should you condone those type of activities, or should you confront them? And help me understand that in the context of what 1 John is saying in 16 and 17 about the sin that doesn't lead to death.
Yes. What I would say there, and it's pretty clear, that if you are going to go against hate, racism, etc., that's a use of the law. And that helps nobody just to hear the law, because the law is pretty clear. There's no distinction between male or female, Greek or Jew, slave or free. But the motivation in order to love those that in some people's minds we are to hate comes from knowing the gospel. Look how far Jesus went to die for the sins of the entire world. Therefore, if anyone sees his brother committing a sin, and I'm quoting verse 16, not leading to death, he shall ask and God will give him life to those who commit sins that do not lead to death. So that would be any kind of a sin that, when repentant, does not lead to death. But there is sin that does lead to death. And therefore, that, we just talked a little bit about doing what that was talking about. And that was the sin against the Holy Spirit. So any sin could lead to death if it wasn't for the gospel. But the children of God are to repent of all sin They are to hate that sin and the weakness of their flesh. But when believers fall into sin, they know that they have one who prays for them and offers forgiveness to them. So if I was confronting a member of the congregation who hated someone else just because the color of their skin, their nationality, or whatever, I would indicate to them that that is a sin, and then show them from the Bible it's a sin, and then move them toward repentance so that they could be forgiven.
Okay. And that same practice or protocol would be used in soul winning a prospective brother that's not part of the body?
Oh, absolutely, because he thinks that the sin he's doing is no big deal and that God okays that. So particularly for an unbeliever, you use the law to say that is not according to God's will, and here are the reasons. And you do the best you can under the law, and when they get to the point, like Paul did, boy, I can now see that the things I want to stop from doing, I'm unable to do. Who's going to deliver me from this problem? And then you can speak about Jesus Christ, and that's how those people can be saved.
Wow. Bless you, Pastor. May your tribe increase. Your ministry of reconciliation is beautiful.
Thank you very much, James. I appreciate the call, and we're just going to move right down to talk to Marilyn. Hi, Marilyn.
Well, good morning. And James is always so interesting.
Oh, he is.
I wanted to know about slaves. I heard on Christian radio this morning very early that they were all slaves. All Christians are slaves. And then it's even brought up in the book of Revelations. But he named many different sources where it called us slaves.
Okay. God uses the term slaves, first of all, in the literal sense, those who are owned by another person and they have to do the tasks that they're given. But when God uses the word slave to refer to you and me, I'll ask you a very simple question, Marilyn. Do you own yourself or does Jesus own you?
Absolutely.
And I am proud to say I am a slave of Jesus, because he was, in a sense, a slave to you, Marilyn, in becoming the person who would be your substitute in paying the punishment that you deserve to pay to God for all your sins. Jesus, therefore, was your slave or servant in giving you the greatest gift of salvation. And therefore, to say that I'm a slave of Jesus, that's a wonderful thing to say, because it means that he owns us, we have nothing to fear in the future, and all things will work together to our good.
Oh, praise the Lord. Well, thank you, Pastor.
And thank you so much for calling. Marilyn, unfortunately, we're out of time. So we're unable to provide any more information or answer questions. I do want to say, if you are someone who wants to support Law and Gospel, you can listen at the end of the program, and there's an address you can send a check to. And if you want to get IRS approval there, make it out to Concordia Mission Society. And then send it to the address that's given, and you will get a sheet from us where that's tax deductible. So, Concordia Mission Society. And as I indicated earlier, I'm now available for preaching on Sundays and doing other things during the week for congregations that might need some help in adult or youth instruction and confirmation, seeing shut-ins, or anything else. I love doing Bible studies during the week also, so I'm only too happy to come in. And I'll go up to 200 miles within the St. Louis area in order to do these items. So email me at lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. I'm Tom Baker. On Monday, as I've already indicated, we're going to be taking a look at a really, really strange text where Jesus says, don't, and he says this to his disciples, don't tell anybody that I am the Christ. Isn't that the task of the church? We'll look at that on Monday's Law and Gospel, and Mark Smith will be back with us on Tuesday. Till then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.